Today's shiur is dedicated by Dr. Yosef and Mrs. Yael Gurevich for Schuss for their grandparents, Mr. and Mrs. Moshe Rubin. Today's shiur is dedicated for Fuad Shleima, for Shalom and Bracha. Today's shiur is Masechet Ksubos Daf Ayin Ches, and we will begin on Daf Ayin Ches Amud Aleph at the beginning of the Mishnah. As we've learned many times, a wife could bring into a marriage two types of assets, nechsei malug and nechsei tzoyim brazel. Nechsei tzoyim brazel are assets that are evaluated at the time of the marriage, put into the ksuba, and when the marriage is terminated, whatever they were worth is the amount that the woman is entitled to. Nechsei malug are assets that belong to the wife. However, the husband has a right to eat the peiros. If it's in a building, the rent. If it's a field, the peiros that are produced by that field are all belonging to the husband from the time of the marriage. Our Mishnah primarily discusses nechsei malug. And Chazal taught us that the reason why a husband is entitled to eat the peiros of nechsei malug is tachas b'kuna, as we've learned, if a wife will chas v'shalom be kidnapped, the husband will be entitled to eat, will have to ransom her because he's been eating the peiros of the nechsei malug all along. So begins our Mishnah, ishta shenafala nechasim achatos aris. A woman obtained the chasim prior even to her erison, and the Tosfos Yontif, quoting the Rashba and the Rambam, it doesn't make a difference how she got the ownership of these nechsei malug, whether she inherited them from a relative, whether she found them as a metziah, whether she got them as a gift. All of those circumstances point out the Tosfos Yontif doesn't make a difference. The point, however, being that all of these assets fell to her actually to Cyrus before she was meretzes. The halacha is that even though, as we're going to learn in a moment, a machloikus of Beisham and Beis Hillel, says the Gemara here, there's no machloikus. Moedim Beisham and Beis Hillel, both Beisham and Beis Hillel agree, Shmecheres from the Senes Rekayim, that if she sells these assets, it's 100% a valid sale. So Rashi explains that she is already meretzes, and the Mishnah is teaching us that since these assets fell to her before she was meretzes, then she could sell them. But according to Rashi, once she's in the sua, even though these assets fell to her even before she was meretzes, the halacha, Rashi says, is not that she's in the sua. It makes no difference when and how the assets became hers. She no longer has a right to sell it. Tosfos has a different pshat, and Tosfos seems to learn that assets that were her before she was meretzes, she will be allowed to sell. How about nechasim that fell after mishnas arsam, after she was meretzes? So here we have a machloikus. Beshamay from Timkar. Beshamay says that since she's now only meretzes, she's allowed to sell them. Or Beshil Oimrim Timka, that she shouldn't sell it because she's already meretzes. However, Elu v'Elu, both Beisham and Beis Hillel agree, Moedim, Shemach v'Nas Nakayim, that if she did sell these assets, since she's not Nesu yet, the halacha is that the sale is a valid sale. There's a machloikus Rishonim, how to understand this. Rashi seems to learn that if the Lekeach, if the person who's coming to buy these assets from a woman who's meretzes, asks us, is it proper or not proper for him to buy the assets? So what we tell him, according to Beis Hillel, is lechatchila, you ought not to buy them. But b'di'eved, if it's fine. Why, if you bought it? Says the Avni Nezer, why did the differentiate between the wife, who we don't say this to, and to the buyer, we do say to? So explains the Avni Nezer, because the buyer shouldn't be buying these assets because he's hurting the husband. The woman is not necessarily hurting the husband, because the woman could decide that she doesn't want to have nisun with this man. And since she doesn't want to have nisun with this man, she'll never get hold of these assets, so she isn't doing anything wrong. The buyer doesn't know that. And as far as the buyer is concerned, she is going to be getting married, and by him buying these assets, he's doing the wrong thing. So it's interesting that here we have a case where Beis Shammai is more lenient than Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai allows her to sell these assets, and Beis Hillel does not. So Tosfos asks, quoting Yerushalmi, that the Mishnayos in Masechet Igyos identify all the situations where Beis Shammai is more lenient than Beis Hillel. And this case is not mentioned in those Mishnayos. So the Yerushalmi answers that Beis Shammai only mentions cases which are where Beis Shammai is a complete makel. Here, although, as we just explained, he is being makel for the husband, but he's being makel for the wife, that she's allowed to sell these assets, but he's being machmer on the husband, that the husband will lose out. So that isn't considered a full-fledged kula. And since it's not considered a full-fledged kula, it's not mentioned. As Tosfos, we learned earlier in our Masechta, a case where a husband made a neder that his wife can't benefit from him. And Beis Shammai says they should remain for 2 weeks. Only after 2 weeks, if the neder is still there, yoytzev yitin ksuba. And according to Beis Hillel, after 1 week. And that case, that machlokes of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, is mentioned in the Mishnah in Idyos. Why? It is indeed that it's a kula for the husband that he doesn't have to wait, that he doesn't have to divorce her right after a week. He can wait 2 weeks. But it's a chumra for the wife that she has to wait till 2 weeks till she'll get her get and ksuba. And we're learning now, as Tosfos, that the Mishnayos and Masechet Igyos only mention cases which are full-fledged kula for all parties involved. It isn't. Says Tosfos that actually is a kula for the wife as well. Because maybe indeed she does want to get a divorce, she wants to get a ksuba. But down the road, she may realize that it's not so great that she got divorced and that she's alone. So waiting 2 weeks is not only a benefit for the husband that he gets 2 weeks to wait till he has to pay the ksuba, but it's also a benefit for the wife. And the reason it's a benefit to the wife, because the wife is going to maybe not end up getting divorced, and that will be good for her in the long term. And that's why the Mishnah, that's why there it's a full-fledged kula, the opinion of Beis Shammai, here not. Amri Huda. So we just learned, Shemachar V'nosna Kayim, that if she does sell the assets, everybody agrees, but the evidence is fine. Amri Yehuda. So Yehuda comments, Amri Chacham Ofnei Ragmleel, that Chacham said to Ragmleel, since at the time of Erisin, the husband becomes a pidin, according to halacha, they're considered husband and wife. So just like a husband has a right to stop a wife once she's in a sua from selling any properties, why doesn't he have the same rights once she's in a rusa? Amlehem. Al hachadoshim on the boishim. Indeed, he says, on assets that came to him after the nesuin, we're not so satisfied that the husband should have these rights. So according to this, the definition is that we're talking about assets that were there from before nesuin and assets that come before nesuin, assets come after nesuin. And the question, and therefore, the Gemara Rabbi Yehuda says, the fact that a husband prevents a wife from selling assets is not so simple. Certainly, we don't want to expand it. So many ask, we mentioned at the beginning of our shiur, that the reason a husband gets a right to keep those assets, certainly the payrus, is because he'll have to ransom her. So the answer is so obvious. Why does a husband have a right to prevent selling of the assets? Because the husband has to redeem her, can ransom her if Chas V'Shalom she gets kidnapped. So the Ran answers that that's not really so understandable. Because the Ran says most people, Baruch Hashem, don't get kidnapped. And since most people don't get kidnapped, this is not something that we understand why the husband should have ownership and to prevent the sale. And that's why we want to limit it. Another pshat that I saw, Tiferes Yisrael suggests, is that the woman can make an argument and says, you know what, don't ransom me and don't have the right to hold me back from selling my assets. The fact that a wife does not have the right to make that type of a statement is what was troubling to Rav Gamliel in this discussion. Another pshat that the Pnei Yeshua suggests is that this halacha that we've been learning, that a husband gets the payris, is not because he has to ransom her. Rather, the reason is we want him to help her maintain and take care of her assets, to which he's saying the husband doesn't necessarily do such a great job, and that's why the husband shouldn't have such strong rights. However, continues the Mishnah, Nafalam Shinesis, but Nesuchasim that came to the ownership of the wife after they were married. Here says the Gemara, Eilav Eilu Moedim, after Nesuin, Eilav Eilu Moedim, both Beisham and Beisel will agree, Shemarchav and Nasna, that if she sold those assets, Habal Moetzi Miyad Lekuchais, that the husband could take away those assets because she had no right to sell them. Actually, Nesis, but let's say Nechasim, she had ownership of Nechasim before the Nesuin, and then Nesas, and she had Nesuin, Gamliel Amar, Gamliel says, and Marchav Nasna Kayim. It doesn't make a difference when, according to Rashi, those assets fell before Nesuin or after Nesuin, now that, before Erisin or after Erisin, now that she's Nesua, she should not be allowed to sell them. But if she be the Evit sold them, according to Gamliel, the sale is a valid sale. That's the way Rashi learns. Tosus, going back to the opinion of Tosus we cited at the beginning of the Mishnah, Tosus says that we're only talking about assets that fell to her after the Erisin. But assets that she took ownership on before the Erisin, according to Tosus' understanding of the Mishnah, she will always be allowed to sell even after the Nesuin. Why is the halacha that she could indeed, why is the halacha he said, Machav Nas Nakayim? Shouldn't the halacha be that since those payers belong to him, she should not be allowed to sell them? So I saw Rav Shach Zatzal explains that this is really connected to a question that comes up often in Shas. And that is, Kinyan Peiris Kikinyan Aguftami or Kinyan Peiris Laf Kikinyan Aduftami. The husband, as we explained when we began our shir, in the is not really a full-fledged owner. All the husband is an owner in the Nechsei Melug is for the Peiris. And Rav Gamliel's opinion is that since he's only an owner as far as the payers are concerned, that doesn't really give him real ownership. Since it doesn't really give him real ownership, that's why our Mishnah, that's why Gamliel says that she's the true owner, and since she is the true owner, the halacha is a Machav Nasna Kayim. Amram Chananya Ben Akavya, Amram Lufnei of Gamliel, they asked her Gamliel, Hav Zacha B'Isha, now that they had Nesuin, Lo Yiskim and Nechasim, ought the halacha not be that the Nechasim are his? And since the Nechasim are his, he should be able to void any sale that she made. Amlem, to which he responded, Al Chadashim Anubayshim, we're concerned about the assets that she got after Nesuin, as we explained before. Why does the husband have such powerful rights? Al Sha'ata Megagim Leinim Ayishanim, and now you want to speak about the old assets, it's not acceptable. Rav Shim Gamliel differentiates between nechasim and nechasim, between different types of assets. Nechasim yiduim labal, nechasim that the husband is aware of. And what the Gemara Mitzvah Shem will explain what nechasim yiduim are. But the Tiferes Yisrael explains that what is the basic understanding of nechasim yiduim. A husband who is aware of certain assets can argue, I married this woman with the understanding that these nechasim, or at least the payers of these nechasim, are going to be mine. And therefore, somebody, if she comes to take away my right, I have a right to stop that sale because the sale was, my entire marriage was predicated on me being the owner of those nechasim, at least of those payers. And therefore, the halacha is like Timkar. She has no right to sell. And in Machra Venasna, if she does sell it, bottle. The sale is bottle. She'eni yidun labal, but if there are assets that the husband is not aware of, the halacha is like Timkar. She shouldn't be allowed to sell. But in Machra Venasna, b'di'eved, in Machra Venasna, kayim, that if she does sell it, the halacha is that the sale will be considered a valid sale. There's a discussion what is meant with the word kayum. And they say, I saw different explanations. One explanation is that kayum, that the sale, the husband has a right to be mevatel the sale, even after his wife dies. If his wife predeceases him, since he's her yoyrish, he takes it away from the buyers permanently. Another pshat is, the kayim is not only to teach us that's not, our Mishnah is not only speaking about a case where the wife sold these assets, but even if the wife gave the assets away as a gift, the same halacha would apply. Says the Gemara, Mishnah Reisha, asked the Gemara, why in the Reisha, where we're talking about the chasim that fell to her before the Erisin, loy pligi, everybody agrees, Beisil agrees to Beishamai that she has a right to sell them. Umayishna Seifa, the pligi, the chasin that fell to her after the erisin, we have a machloikus Beisham Beisil. Answers the Gemara, Amri de Beyanai. Reisha, Beschusa Nafla. The Reisha, these assets fell to her when she was completely independent of the husband. Since at that point she was completely independent of the husband, he has a right, he has no rights, she has the rights, and she has the right to sell. Seifa, however, is referring to a situation, b'schusoy nafla, when she was already married, and when she was already connected to him, even just with Erisin, and that's why Aloch is very different. Im b'schusoy nafla, so ask the Gemara, if that's the way you're differentiating between the Reisha and the Seifa, then the Reisha, she was totally independent from him. And that's why she is considered the sole owner of these assets versus the Sefer, where she already had her Erisin. That's why she's not considered the sole owner of these assets. So ask the Gemara, if that's the way you're going to explain, so why is the halacha that even Beis Hillel agrees, v'chimach v'nosna, that if she did sell those assets, amai kayim, if they're his assets, why would the sale be considered valid? Answers the Gemara l'Reisha, v'adei b'schusa nafla. We have to sort of amend the way it was explained. The Reisha, she's completely, and it's completely her assets. Seifa, but we speak about the Seifa, where she's already mureses. Eima b'schusa nafla, v'eima b'schusa nafla. It's not clear how to really look at this. Therefore, because to some degree they are connected, they had already Erisin, but they did not yet have Nesuin. And therefore, the halacha is Lechatchila, teaches us Beis Hillel she shouldn't sell it. But however, in Machav Nasna, Kayim, it's fine. Amar Yehuda, Amar Lefnei Rav Gamliel. So we learned further in Mishnah that the Chum said to Gamliel that even the Chasim that fell to her after the Erisin should be different than what it said in the Mishnah that she shouldn't be allowed to say. Ibailhu. So ask the Gemara. When Rabbi Yehuda said in the name Chachamim that the din ought not to be as it stated in the Mishnah, what does that mean? Al Chatchila, is he addressing Beis Shammai? And Beis Shammai said that while she's in Arusa, she's Al Chatchila allowed to say sell those assets. And the Chachamim are saying we don't understand why Beis Shammai would say this. Or yeah, the Yevid, that Beis Hillel said she shouldn't be selling the assets. But the Eved, we just learned Beis Hillel's opinion is that if she sold it, it's fine. And the Chachamim say that the Arocha ought to be that even with the Eved, the sale should not be a valid sale. Says the Gemara Toshma, we'll be able to understand what Rabbi Yehuda meant from the wording of the Braisa. The Tanya Amr Rabbi Yehuda, Amru Lefnei Rav Gamliel, the Chachamim said to Gamliel, Hoyel V'zu Ishtoi, a woman who's already in the Sua is considered his wife, V'zu Ishtoi, and a woman who's in Arusa is considered an Eishes Ish. So therefore, they were saying to Beis Hillel, just like Zu, a woman who's in the Sua, who sells these assets, who sells these Nisqusim Log, Mechra bottle, Avzu, so too should be the Halacha, Ben Arusa, that if she sells assets, Mechra bottle. Because the Gemara is saying that since in both cases she's considered an Eishes Ish, the Halacha ought to be the same in both cases. To which it was responded, Al Chadoshim, the assets that she has when she's in the Sua, on a Boishim. We're not really so satisfied in understanding why the husband could stop her from selling them. El Shat Megalgam Lein Masiyishonim, and you want to say that so too will be the Halacha on assets that she had from an Arusa? So we see that Shmamina, that the question that was being addressed was under the Evid Kamra, that the Chum held that Beis Hillel said that assets that she has is an Arusa. But the Evid, if she sold those assets, the sale is valid, and the Chachamim were concerned with that Psak, and that was the dialogue of the Mishnah, Shmamina. So the question is, Al Gemara in the Havamina wanted to equate an Arusa and an Asua. And all the Mepharshim ask, we all know that an Arusa and a Suah, even though she may indeed be considered an Eishes Ish when she's an Arusa, but we can't equate an Arusa and an Asua. So the Shita answers that the Gemara's Havamina was that since at the point she is considered an Eishes Ish, that is enough. So how do we understand Rav Gamliel's response? So says the Shita, that Rav Gamliel means to say that when she's in a Suah, we're saying that the sale is voided. Why is that? That's a very bechidish. And since it's a very bechidish, we can't learn it from there to anywhere else. Why is it a very bechidish? Because these assets really belong to her. Nichsi Belug really belong to the wife. And since Nichsi Belug really belong to the wife, she should be allowed to sell it. Tanya, but now Gemara quotes a brisa that actually disagrees with the brisa that we just learned. And Tanya Amar Mechananya ben Akavya, loy kachishim Gemliel chachamim. It's the dialogue does not go the way we learned. Ella kachishivam. This is why he answered loy im amarta ben nesua. If we say ben nesua, the reason the sale is voided shekem baalazakim mitziyasa. Once they have nesuin, any fine that she finds goes to her husband. Masiyadera, her earnings go to her husband. Bafaras Nadera, Narea, once there's Nasun, the husband has sole right to be made for Nadarim. Time of Barusa, whereas they only had an Arisin, Ain Balazoika, Leibon Tsiyasa, Leibon Tsiyadera, Veloy Benefaras Nadera. And therefore, we can't bring a raya from Nasun to Arisin. Amaloy, so the Chachamim said, Rebbe, we understand what you said, that if she sold assets before she was a Nesua, the halacha is why the sale should be considered valid. What happened with she had Nesuin? So they said, Afzu, in this case, the halacha is Mecheres from the Senes V'Kayim. Amlai, but the Chum said to him, that doesn't make sense. Since she is full-fledged Nesua at this point, and since she's a full-fledged Nesua, and we just explained that the rights of a husband, once they have Nesuin, are very enhanced, as we just said, regarding Mitziyasa, and Masiyadeo, and Hafaras Nadereo, La Yisku Menachasim, shouldn't he have a right to void any sale? Amalehem, so Gemliel says to Chamim Al Chadoshim, the assets that fell after the Nesuin on a Boishim. I'm not sure why, says Rav Gamliel, does the husband have such powerful right? And you want to say that even assets that fell before the Nesuin, he should have rights on? It's not something I'm willing to accept. But ask the Gemara. So from this brisa, it seems that a woman who's already in the Sua has a right to sell assets as long as those assets were by her before the Nesuin. But ask the Gemara, haven't we learned in our Mishnah, Achlei Nisus, the Nisus, Regemliel Oimer, and Marcha V'Nos Nekayim, that only by the Eved, she's the halacha is, if they were sold, it's acceptable. But l'chatchila, Regamliel and our Mishnah taught us that once she's nesua, she's not allowed to sell any assets, even the assets that fell before the nesuin. Amar Rav Zvid, so Rav Zvid says we have to amend the Mishnah and say mecheres for nesan is kayim. That even l'chatchila, she's allowed to sell, not just b'dieved, but even l'chatchila assets that she had before, she's allowed to sell. That's the way Rashi learns this Gemara. And many Rishonim have many questions on Rashi. The first question is that what happens in our Gemara, according to Rashi, is highly unusual. Because usually what happens is that the Gemara, when we have a Mishnah and a Braisa that are not consistent, we change the wording of the Braisa to be consistent with the Mishnah. Here we're changing the wording, according to Rashi, of the Mishnah to be consistent with the Braisa. So the Shita answers, says, since the Mishnah is unclear and the Braisa is much clearer, in a case where the Mishnah's Psak is ambiguous and the Braisa's Psak is clear, we prefer to take the Psak of the Braisa. Tosfos asks another question. It turns out that according to this, Rav Gamliel is agreeing with Beis Shammai, because according to Beis Hillel, any assets that fell to her by Erisin, we learned in our Mishnah explicitly, Beis Hillel holds, she should not l'chatchila sell. And he was saying that she is a l'chatchila allowed to sell. So Tosfos asks, according to Rashi's Pshat, Gamliel is passing in Beis Shammai, not like Beis Hillel, which again is highly unusual. So the Shita answers, the Rashi holds that it's better to say that Gamliel agrees with Beis Shammai and not Beis Hillel, because if we're going to have Beis Hillel agreeing with Beis Hillel, then the Chachamim are going to be holding like Beis Shammai, which of course is also untenable. So we therefore say the other way around, that Rabbi Gamliel holds like Beis Shammai and the Chachamim hold like Beis Hillel. Tosfos in the Rashba, actually because of these difficulties and others in the Pshat of Rashi, says that the way to learn the Mishnah, Machar V'Nos Nekayim, and according to this, we have to change the wording of the Braisa to have it be consistent in the Mishnah. And the Braisa is teaching us that only b'di'evid, if she's sold, is the sale valid, but not l'chatchila. Rav Papa gives a different way of satisfying, reconciling the Mishnah and the Braisa. Loi kasha, ha Rabbi Yehuda aliv der Gamliel. The Mishnah has Rabbi Yehuda's opinion according to Gamliel. V'ha, the Braisa has Rabbi Chanan, has the bias of Rabbi Chanan ben Akiva live the Gamliel. That means, according to Yehuda, Rabbi Gamliel holds that if the Nesua sold assets that she had before the Nesuin, it's only b'dieved valid. According to Rabbi Chanan ben Akiva, Rabbi Gamliel holds that it's l'chatchila valid. Ask the Gemara. So that means that Rabbi Chanan ben Akiva savak Beis Shammai. Rabbi Chanan ben Akiva is going to have to hold like Beis Shammai. Because according to Beis Hillel, even a woman who's just an arusa is not really allowed to sell assets. Certainly not a woman who is a nesua, says the Gemara Hakama. This is the way to understand Rav Chananya's opinion. That they both agree that she can, that arusa can chatchila sell. The machloikis that we learned in the Mishnah between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, actually he doesn't agree with. He says they never disagreed. They hold an arusa to l'chatchila sell her assets. And also, even a nesua could sell assets that she had from before the nesuin. Says the Gemara, Rav Shmuel Damri Tavayu, Bein Shalafim L'Nechosim Achna Nesarsa, whether assets she took ownership before Erisin, or Bein Shalafim L'Nechosim Mishin Nesarsa Venissus, or if they fell after the Erisin, then she has nesuin, Habal Moitz Miyad L'Kuchas, the sale is entirely void. Ask the Gemara, Kaman, the Loik of Yehuda, it's not consistent with the opinion of Yehuda, because according to Yehuda, Gamliel and our Mishnah said, b'di'evid, the sale is not valid, and according to Rav Zvid, even l'chatchila it's valid. The Loik of Chananya ben Akavya, he says that also he just said she's allowed to sell. Answers the Gemara, Inu, Rav and Shmuel, the Amri, Rabbi Naseinu. They said, like the Rabbi Nesenu taught it, which are an opinion which wasn't taught in our Mishnah. The Ratanya Rabbi Nesenu Chosra and Nimnu, Ben Shal Nafal and Achla Tesaris, or Ben Shal Nafal of Nesaris of Nesis, under all circumstances, once there is Nesuin, any sale that she attempts to make, Habal Motzim Yad Nekuchas. We learned in the Mishnah, Mishnissis, if she sold assets after the Nesuin, and certainly if they are assets that she only got after the Nesuin, Elu ve'elu moedim, Beisham and Beishol both agree that the sale is an invalid sale, and the husband has a right to retrieve those assets from the people who bought those assets. Ask the Gemara, Leim tanina l'tekunas Usha, is our Mishnah not supporting what Usha said? And I saw two pshatim in what the Gemara means to say. One pshat is that the Gemara is making a statement that we're going to learn, we've learned it, but we're going to repeat it in a moment, the Takanas Usha. And the Gemara is saying that this Takanas Usha actually was already taught in our Mishnah. Another way is a question. Usha was after the Mishnah. And certainly, Usha's purpose was not to teach us something that we had already learned in a Mishnah. If Usha was coming to teach us something, they were presumably coming to say something new, not something which was already stated in the Mishnah. So again, so no matter how we learn, ask the Marlema, it seems that we're learning that what Usha said is in our Mishnah. Tanina l'tikunas Usha. What Usha taught us is explicit in our Mishnah. Dama Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. B'usha skina. Hish shemach b'nichsi l'lug b'chai b'ala. If a woman sells off from the nichsi m'lug while her husband's alive, v'mesa, and she dies, habal mitzvah miyad l'kuchas. And that's our Mishnah that teaches us that the wife has no right to sell those assets. So what is Usha teaching us? Answers the Gemara, if we only had the Mishnah, the halacha would be b'chayah, that only the sale that he made as long as they were alive. That means if the wife sold the lekucha, sold those nuchsim alug while she's alive, so the husband could go to the lekuchas and void the sale. But maybe once the wife dies, the buyers could go back and take those sales, take those assets, or the payers. Yes, we've been learning throughout this year that the husband gets the payers of the nuchsim alug, but maybe that's only as long as he's alive, as long as she's alive. Once she's no longer alive, he doesn't get the payers. That's what Usha comes to teach us. Takanas Usha is beguf shel karka, that he has ownership, and that ownership continues lachemisa. We learned in the Mishnah, Reb Shimon Chaylik, Reb Shimon differentiates between the chasim yiduim, that those assets, if she sold, the sale is void, and the chasim she'ena yiduim. So the question was, what are you doing? What are any you doing? So Gemara suggests, Eilin you doing, Veilhem sheni you doing. The nechassim that are you doing are not valid even with the Evid, and any you doing, she can't sell chatchila. What are they? Amr of Yosef of Chanina, you doing a mekarki, and you doing a metatlin. Mekarkin means karka, and since it's karka, everybody knows about it, and the husband relies on them, and metaflin are not necessarily known amount, and since they're not necessarily known about, the husband doesn't rely on them. There isn't, we shouldn't differentiate between karka and metaflin. Rather, it could even be karka, but if the husband doesn't know about it, that's why it's not considered something that he relied on. And it goes back to a svara that we said earlier in our shir. We said a husband could always say, I married the woman on the expectation that these assets, or the payers at least of these assets, will become mine. But if he doesn't know about those assets, he can never make such an argument. It says the Gemara, Tanya Nami Hachi, Elam Chen Yiduim, Kol Sheves Kan, if she's in one place, for Nafla Nechasim Medina Sayam, that's where the husband doesn't have a right to say, well, I got married assuming that those Nechasim will be mine. He can't make such a claim when he didn't even know about them.